ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् कैंटो 10 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड कृष्णा फाइट्स विद बाणासुर टेक्स्ट नंबर 39 एंड 40।
यतैव सूर्य अपिहित यतैव सूर्य पिहितश्चायया स्वया छायां च रूपाणि च सञ्चकास्ति एवं गुणेना पिहितो गुणांस्त्वम् आत्मप्रदीपो गुणिनश्च भूमन् यतैव सूर्य पिहितश्चायया स्वया छायां च रूपाणि च सञ्चकास्ति एवं गुणेना पिहितो गुणांस्त्वम् आत्मप्रदीपो गुणिनश्च भूमन् यतैव सूर्य पिहितश्चायया स्वया छायां च रूपाणि च सञ्चकास्ति एवं गुणेना पिहितो गुणांस्त्वम् आत्मप्रदीपो गुणिनश्च भूमन् यतैव सूर्यास्वया छायां च रूपाणि च सञ्चकास्ति गुणेना पिहितो गुणांस्त्वम् आत्मा प्रदीपो गुणिनश्च भूमन् यतैव सूर्य पिहितश्चायया स्वया छायां च रूपाणि च सञ्चकास्ति एवं गुणेना पिहितो गुणांस्त्वम् आत्मप्रदीपो गुणिनश्च भूमन् यतैव सूर्यो पिहितश्चायया स्वया
एवं गुणेन
माताजी रीड द वर्ड टू अ ट्रांसलेशन यता एव जस्ट एस सूर्य द सन अपिहित कवर्ड छायया बाय द शेड स्वया इट्स ओन छायां द शेड च एंड रूपाणि visible forms cha also sanchakasti illuminates evam similarly gunena by the material quality of false ego apihita covered gunan the qualities of matter tvam you Atma Pradipa, self-luminous, Guninaha, the possessors of these qualities, the living entities, Cha and Bhuman, O Almighty One. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. O Almighty One, just as the sun, though hidden by a cloud, illuminates the cloud and all other visible forms as well, so you, although hidden by the material qualities, remain self-luminous and thus reveal all those qualities, along with the living entities who possess them. Purport. Here Lord Shiva further clarifies the idea expressed in the final two lines of the previous verse. The analogy of the clouds and the sun is appropriate. With its energy, the sun creates the clouds which cover our vision of the sun. Yet it is the sun that allows us to see the clouds and all other things as well. Similarly, the Lord expands his illusory potency and thus prevents us from directly seeing him. Yet it is God alone who reveals to us his covering potency, namely the material world. And thus the Lord is Atma Pradipa, self-luminous. It is the reality of his existence that makes all things visible. Because supposed to cover the next verse also, I'll read the next verse also. Yanmaya mohita diya putra dara grihadishu unmajyanti nimajyanti prasakta virjinar nave. Lord Shiva is continuing. Translation. Their intelligence, bewildered by your maya, fully attached to children, wife, home and so on, persons immersed in the ocean of material misery sometimes rise to the surface and sometimes sink down. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that rising in the ocean of misery indicates elevation to higher species, such as demigods, and that being submerged refers to degradation to lower species, even to immobile forms of life such as trees. As stated in the Vayu Puran, viparyayascha bhavati brahmatva stavaratvayo. The living being rotates between the position of Brahma and that of an unmoving creature. Srila Jiva Goswami points out that Lord Shiva, having glorified the Lord, now pursues his original intention of securing the Lord's grace for Banasur. Thus, in this and the following four verses, Lord Shiva instructs Banasur on his actual position in relation to the Lord. And Shiva's appeal to the Lord for compassion toward Banasur appears in text 45.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashati Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavranda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Sir, before I begin, I seek the blessings of all the devotees, especially His Grace Bhavanand Prabhu, so that I can speak something to glorify the Lord and for my own purification. So we are reading this particular section where Lord Krishna is having a fight with Banasura and his associates, and especially in the series of verses which we are reading today, Lord Shiva is actually glorifying the Lord, and then he is actually instructing Banasura, and then finally he will actually request Lord Krishna to bestow his favor upon Banasura. So in the 39th verse, which is there in the board, Lord Shiva is actually glorifying Lord Krishna. So the fight had just ended, where Lord Krishna was with his Sudarshan Chakra and with his different weapons, he cut off all the bows of Banasura. Banasura especially was proud of his 1,000 arms, and with his 1,000 arms, like, he had 500 bows in his hand. With the 500 bows, he was actually releasing arrows at Krishna. But Krishna, just with his one bow, he actually cut off all the bows of Banasura. He cut off the chariot of Banasura. He also killed the chariot driver. And then Krishna also started actually killing the... Krishna also cut off all the arms of Banasura. Krishna actually cut off the 996 arms of Banasura. And when just only four arms were left, that time Lord Shiva is coming, and Lord Shiva is actually glorifying the Supreme Lord. So here we see that in this chapter, especially we see that Lord Shiva is actually establishing the supreme position of Krishna. So particularly, I would like to take this theme of Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead being established over here in this chapter. And especially in this chapter, Lord Shiva is actually establishing position of Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So predominantly I will try to speak on this particular theme as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we see in the case of Banasura, he was trying to separate the Supreme Lord from his consort. So Banasura's daughter was Usha, and Krishna's grandson is Aniruddha. In fact, Aniruddha is not just Krishna's grandson, but Aniruddha is one of the members of the Chaturvyuha. Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. So Aniruddha is actually one of the Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme Personality of God. And Usha is the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord. So Banasura, being a demon, he is trying to separate the Lord from his consort. The nature of a demon is that he tries to separate the Lord from his consort. But Lord Shiva is trying to not only unite the Lord with his consort, but he is also trying to unite the living entity, here in the case of Banasura is a demon, with the Supreme Lord. So that is the position of a guru. Like Vishwamitra in Ramayana. Vishwamitra, in fact the name Vishwamitra means one who is the friend of the whole world. Vishwa Amitra. So Vishwamitra, he fulfilled the meaning behind his name by uniting Lord Ram with Sita.
So when he united Lord Ram with Sita, he actually fulfilled the meaning behind his name. So in this way, we see that, in fact, even we also can actually participate, because when the Lord is united with his consort, that is auspicious for the whole world. That is auspicious for the whole universe. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are actually worshipping Krishna and Srimati Radharani, his eternal consort, together. So simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can bring the Lord and his consort together. So here, we see that Banasura was trying to separate the Lord from his consort, and Lord Shiva is trying to unite the Lord with his consort. And then, another thing we see here is that Krishna is the, usually in this world, people offer prayers to different demigods. But here we see, Krishna is the object of prayers for everyone, and even for those who are the object of prayers. So demigods are usually the object of prayers of different living entities in this world. But here we see Lord Shiva, Krishna becomes the object of prayers of even Lord Shiva. In fact, throughout the Krishna Leela, in many places, Krishna becomes the object of prayers of even the demigods. Indra, Varuna Dev, Brahmaji, here Lord Shiva. Sometimes people say that, how do we know that God exists? That we are not able to see God. But actually, if we see in one way, perfect management means that everything is managed in such a way that you are not even able to see who is the manager. The perfect manager is such that you don't know like who is actually the manager. So when people say that like they are not able to see God, that actually indicates the perfect management of Krishna. That everything is managed so perfectly that we don't actually, we are not able to see who is, where is the manager. But so the manager remains invisible and he manages perfectly. But when there is an emergency, when there is a disorder, then the manager actually becomes visible and then he corrects the disorder. Like for example, that whenever there is universal disorder, the Lord appears. And the objects of prayer become the subject of the prayer. The demigods are usually the objects of prayers of the different living entities. But when the Krishna appears, the objects of prayers, the demigods, they become the subject of prayer. In the sense that, they start offering prayers to Krishna. So here we see that Lord Shiva is offering prayers to Krishna. In fact, many places, like before Krishna appears, at the time of Krishna's appearance, the demigods come to the presence cell of Kamsa and then they offer prayers to Krishna, who was there in the womb of Devaki. And then at the time of Krishna's disappearance also, the demigods come and offer prayers to Krishna. That they say that your mission has been accomplished. Now if you so desire, you may return to your abode. So when Krishna appears, the object of prayers become the subject of prayers. Here Lord Shiva, who is usually the object of prayers of so many living entities, he has become the subject of prayers, that he is offering prayers to Krishna. So there is one beautiful prayer in the 11th canto, that when before Krishna's disappearance, the demigods come and offer a prayer. In one particular prayer they say, Pariyushtaya tava vibho vanamalayeyam samspardini bhagavati pratipadniyashri yaha supranita mamuyar hanamadadanno Bhuyat sadangri rashubashaya dumaketu. So the demigods, when they come to actually meet Krishna, they have made a flower garland from the gardens of the heavenly planets. And they bring that flower garland and they offer that flower garland to Krishna. And in this prayer they say, Pariyushtaya Tava Vibhu Vanamala Yeyam. That you are so kind that you have accepted the withered flower garland by your servants. This flower garland might have become withered because we brought it from the heavenly planets. You have kindly accepted this flower garland and you have placed it on your chest. Samspardini Bhagavati Pratipadni Yashri. But since the goddess of fortune, she is residing on your chest, and the flower garland which we have offered you, that garland is also placed on your chest. So goddess of fortune might consider that flower garland to be her co-wife. And she may become jealous towards the co-wife. But since the goddess of fortune, she may become agitated like a jealous co-wife, and she may actually become little envious towards the flower garland, who is also actually residing upon the same chest. But yet, we are confident that you will never neglect the insignificant service rendered by us. We know that you will neglect the goddess of fortune, but although we are insignificant, we are rendered an insignificant service, but we know that your nature is that you are merciful to even insignificant devotees. So you will give preference to our service instead of the goddess of fortune. So we are actually, we are not afraid of the wrath of goddess of fortune, because we have faith in your quality as being kind to even the most insignificant devotee. And then they say, Bhuyat Sadangri Rashubha Shaya Dhuma Ketu. May we always meditate upon your lotus feet, and we pray that Ashubha Ashaya, may all our inauspicious desires, Ashubha, inauspicious Ashaya, inauspicious desires, may those desires be destroyed by meditating upon your lotus feet, which acts like a Dhuma Ketu, which acts like a fire of destruction. So in this way, the demigods offer a beautiful prayer. The object of prayers, they become the subject of prayers. In fact, the acharyas give a beautiful purport that generally, he says that even in the case of a rich person, when his wife is actually embracing him, but the rich person likes more the insignificant gift given by his actually loving son than the embrace of his wife. So similarly, Lord Krishna happily accepts even the most meager offering of his loving devotee than even the embrace of his own consort. And then it's explained, Hridayan Maharaj writes a very beautiful point in the purport. He says that because here the demigods have offered this garland with great love, and they have faith that Lord will actually accept their garland. And then Hridayan Maharaj says, when can a person actually offer something with great love for the Lord? So he says, unless a transcendentalist completely gives up the impersonal conception of the Supreme Lord, or the impersonal conception of life, he cannot make a loving offering to the Lord. Unless a person gives up the impersonal conception of life, one cannot make loving offering to the Lord. That is why Srila Prabhupada, he say that he actually came to destroy this impersonalist conception. He came to destroy this Mayavad. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarin. And then Vishnu Chakotaku says that actually, like, these words are spoken by the demigods out of a humor towards the Lord. So he says that actually any garland worn by the Supreme Lord cannot be faded. Because anything offered to the Lord, it is all the transcendental platform. Any garland or any paraphernalia which is offered to the Lord, it cannot actually fade. It is transcendental and spiritually opulent. And similarly, there is no possibility of mundane jealousy. There cannot be mundane jealousy in the hearts of his devotees, especially in the heart of actually the goddess of fortune, who is actually as transcendental as Krishna himself. So when the demigods are saying, maybe goddess of fortune may be jealous towards the co-wife, jealous towards this garland, the demigods are saying in a humorous way. These words are spoken by the demigods, they are out of a humor, which is, this humor is inspired by their intense love towards the Lord. And then, Jiva Goswami explains that because the demigods, they have confidence in the loving relationship with the Lord, so therefore they are speaking in a joking way. When will a person actually joke with another? So only when he has confidence in that other person that he will not misunderstand me. The demigods are actually speaking humorously because they have confidence in the loving relationship with the Supreme Lord. So in this way, that here also the demigod, Lord Shiva, who is normally the object of prayers, he has become the subject of prayers, he is offering prayers to Lord Krishna. And we see that in the Vedic culture, we have this concept of Varnashram, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, the four Varnas and four Ashramas. So especially in the case of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, the Brahmanas, they administer the will of the Lord through Shastra, by educating from the scriptures. And Kshatriyas, they administer the will of the Lord through Shastra, through weapons. And it's like, we see like, just like for example, to give a simple example, like suppose there are rats in your house. Suppose there are rats in the DT room, or the rats in a particular, in your living place. So one way to drive away the rats is, you keep actually rat traps in different places. But another important way, which should be done along with keeping the rat traps, is actually to improve the cleanliness of the place. In fact, that is a more effective way of driving away the rats than the rat traps. To improve the cleanliness of the place. So although you may improve the cleanliness, but still rats may come. So in order to catch the rats, you may still keep the rat traps. But if you don't improve the cleanliness, if you only keep the rat traps, then you may have to keep so many rat traps. In the absence of cleanliness, you have to keep lot of rat traps. But if you improve the cleanliness, you just have to keep maybe few rat traps. So similarly, so the improving the cleanliness of the place, it means actually educating the people from the scriptures, and which is done by the Brahmanas. And although education may be there, but still there will be people who will not follow the laws of God. In order to correct them, in order to punish them, you need to have the Kshatriyas, who will actually punish them, who administer the will of the Lord through Shastra, to punish those people who do not follow the teachings of the scriptures. And we see that those countries where the education system is not proper, when I'm talking about the education system, not about the modern education system, which does not teach any values to the people, I'm talking about the scriptural education, educating based on the scriptures and giving the moral values and giving the spiritual values, I'm talking about that. So those countries where the education system is not proper, there they need so much of police forces, even for a small amount of population. And those countries where still the education value system is intact to some extent, for example, say in India, relatively speaking, the value system is there to some extent compared to the West. There, you need less amount of police forces, although the population is much more than what is there in the West. So out of the two, the Shastra and Shastra, Shastra is actually more important. Education department is more important than the police department, but police department is also required. So here we see, taking this theme further, in this pastime, Lord Shiva is establishing the position of Krishna he is glorifying Krishna both through Shastra and Shastra. So just sometime back, Lord Shiva was fighting with Banasur. Lord Shiva was actually fighting on behalf of Banasur. He was fighting against Krishna. He was fighting against Krishna. By fighting against Krishna, by using the weapons, he was actually establishing the supreme position of Krishna. And now, by speaking based on the Shastra, he is establishing the supreme position of Krishna. So, previously, by acting in a Kshatriya manner, by fighting against Krishna, he glorified Krishna. And now, by speaking from the Shastra, he is actually establishing the supreme position of Krishna. He is playing the Brahminical role. And we also see in the episode of Prachetas, there Lord Shiva is establishing the supreme position of Krishna in a Brahminical way by glorifying Krishna, by speaking the Rudra Geet. So, in the 11th canto, at the end of the Krishna Leela, when Shukadeva Goswami is actually describing about the Maushal Leela, the disappearance of Krishna and the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty. So when he is describing that time he could actually feel how Parikshit Maharaj is disturbed. He is feeling very morose on hearing the disappearance of Krishna and the Yadu dynasty. And Shukadeva Goswami himself is also morose in narrating the disappearance of Krishna. So, it's like, Shukadeva Goswami is a person who is affected by the pastimes which he is speaking. And Parikshit Maharaj is a hearer who is affected by the pastimes which he is hearing. So there is, the difference between a tape recorder and a living person is that, in the case of a tape recorder, when the tape recorder is recording a pastime, the tape recorder does not get, tape recorder in one sense, it is actually recording, it is hearing the pastime, but it does not get affected by the pastime. So any time you can actually switch off the tape recorder. When the lecture is being played, the tape recorder is not affected by the pastime, which is actually coming out of the tape recorder. But in the case of a person, in the case of a devotee, when he is actually devotee like Shukadeva Goswami and he is speaking the pastime, he gets affected by the pastime which he is speaking. Because he is speaking Krishna's disappearance pastime, he feels affected. And Parikshit Maharaj, on hearing Krishna's disappearance pastime, he feels affected. So, the same way, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we want to get affected by the pastime which we are hearing. And we don't want to be like a tape recorder which does not get affected by the pastime. When we want to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam, we want to get affected by the pastime which we speak. So Shukadeva Goswami speaks a particular verse in order to pacify the distress of Parikshit Maharaj and also the distress which he is feeling because of speaking the Krishna's disappearance pastime. So there, he speaks a verse. He says, Martyena yo guru sutam yamaloka neetam twam chanayat sharanada paramastra dagdam jigyenta kantakamapi shamasavanisha kim swavane swar anayan mrigayam sadeham. So Shukadeva Goswami, in order to remove his own distress and the distress of Parikshit Maharaj, in this particular verse, he is recollecting four pastimes of Krishna. Because Parikshit Maharaj is disturbed, how can Krishna leave behind his body and apparently a mortal body like an ordinary person? He appears to be like an ordinary person. He is leaving behind any mundane person who leaves behind a body and then he dies, he leaves this world. So Parikshit Maharaj feels disturbed. That time Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this particular verse, in that he says that Martyena yo guru sutam yamaloka neetam. That Krishna, he brought back the dead son of his spiritual master from the Yamaloka. If Krishna can bring back the dead son of his spiritual master from the Yamaloka, how can he die? How can he leave behind a mortal body? And then he says, Tvam chanayat sharanada paramastra dagdam. Tvam chanayat paramada sharanada. Krishna, who is the giver of protection, he had given you protection from the paramastra dagdam, from the brahmastra. You had already died because of the brahmastra released by Ashwatthama. And Krishna actually protected you. When he is saying paramastra dagdam, he is referring to two astras. Sukadeva Goswami says, you are actually attacked by two astras. You are attacked by the brahmastra released by Ashwatthama, and you are also attacked by the brahmastra in the form of the curse of Shringi. And Krishna protected you from both these astras. So when Krishna had actually revived you from death, how can he actually leave behind a mortal body? And then, in the third line, he is referring to this particular pastime which we are reading in this chapter. He says, Jigyenta kantakam apisham asav anisha. Jigyenta kantakam. Antaka antakam. So here he is referring to Lord Shiva, who gives death blow to the givers of death, who awards death to the agents of death. Jigyenta kantakam api. Krishna, even Lord Shiva, who awards death to the agents of death, that Lord Shiva was defeated by Krishna. Then how can that Krishna leave behind a mortal body? How can that Krishna die like an ordinary conditioned soul? And then in the fourth line, he actually refers to another pastime. In fact, the Krishna disappearance pastime. Kim swarvane swar anayan mrigayam sadeham. Mrigayan, the hunter Jara, who actually shot an arrow at Krishna, and then Krishna apparently leave behind a body. And sadeham, Krishna sent that hunter Jara in his self-same body, sadeham, to a special Vaikunta, swar anayan. If Krishna can send the hunter who actually apparently killed him in a self-same body to a special Vaikunta, how can that Krishna die like an ordinary condition? So in this way, Krishna is actually, Sukadeva Goswami is pacifying the distress of Parishit Maharaj and also pacifying his own distress. So we see that, so this particular pastime establishes the supreme position of Krishna in the sense that Krishna has defeated Lord Shiva, who awards death even to the agents of death. Who awards death to the agents of death. So then, we may get the question that, okay, by remembering these pastimes, we understand, oh, Krishna's leaving behind his mortal body in his Maushal Leela, we should not actually, we should consider that as an illusion. Krishna is not like an ordinary conditioned soul. How can he leave behind a mortal body? But then one may get a question, but why did actually Krishna perform that pastime of leaving behind a mortal body? Why did Krishna perform that pastime of actually allowing the Yadus to actually kill each other and then leave this world and go to the spiritual world? So, Vishnu Chakra Thakur explains in detail why Krishna performs that pastime. There are many reasons, but we will take one particular reason which will focus on that reason. In fact, this Krishna's Maushal Leela, symbolically if we see that Krishna's appearance and Krishna's disappearance. At the time of Krishna's appearance, before Krishna's appearance, all the demigods, when the earth was overburdened by the demoniac rulers, earth actually approached Lord Brahma. And the Lord Brahma, along with all the demigods, and they go to the shore of the milk ocean, and Lord Brahma meditates on Krishna. So then, there is explained that why did all the demigods also go along with Lord Brahma? Earth was in trouble. Earth approached Lord Brahma. Maybe Lord Brahma could have actually gone, and Lord Brahma and Earth could have gone. Anyway, Brahma was the only person who could actually communicate with the Lord. Lord Brahma was the only person who actually heard the voice of Krishna. All the demigods could not hear. It is described that all the demigods also went to the shore of the milk ocean. So one of the reasons which excellent Acharya says that the collective prayer is more powerful than the individual prayer. When the devotees come together and then when they actually glorify the Lord, then the Lord actually appears. So demigods and Brahma, they all went together. They went together, then the Lord appeared. When there was unity, that resulted in the Lord's appearance. And symbolically speaking, at the time of Krishna's disappearance, because all these demigods appeared as different, actually members of the Yadu dynasty. So those people who went to the Prabha Kshetra, they were actually demigod portions. So when the Yadus fought with each other, when there was disunity, then after that what happened? Krishna disappeared. So the unity of the devotees led to the appearance of Krishna, and fighting of the devotees that led to the disappearance of Krishna. But then, why did actually Krishna perform this pastime of allowing the Yadus to fight with each other? And then, why did he perform this pastime of Krishna himself leaving behind a mortal body, allowing himself to be shot by the hunter Jara? So Vishnu Chakra Thakur, he actually gives the thoughts of Krishna. In fact, when Krishna is telling to the other members of the Yadu dynasty, by observing the different bad women, Krishna says that, please note all these terrible women that have appeared in Dwaraka, just like the flags of death. We should not remain here even a moment longer. Let us immediately go to Prabha Kshetra and perform different rituals, different sacrifices, and worship the Brahmanas. So Krishna is observing the bad omens and telling all the Yadu dynasty to go to the Prabha Kshetra. So, but although Krishna is saying this, but he is having different thoughts within his mind. So what were his thoughts? So what Krishna is saying, the thoughts of Krishna was that, he described that different people came to meet Krishna when Krishna actually went to Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse. We'll read in the 82nd and 83rd chapter of the 10th canto. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra, so many people from all over the world, they came to meet Krishna. Even the Brajavasis came to meet Krishna. But among so many kings came to meet Krishna. But one person, which is not given in the description, who also came to meet Krishna is Kali personified. So when Kali personified, he came to meet Krishna, and Kali asked Krishna that if Dharma is so strong, but how will actually Kali Yuga begin? I have to begin the Kali Yuga, but Dharma is flourishing because of you now. So then how can I start my influence, and how can I actually begin Kali Yuga? How can I start my influence? In order to make the appearance of Kali Yuga, Krishna was thinking, in fact, Krishna replied to Kali Yuga, or the Acharya is actually giving the thoughts of Krishna. So Krishna is thinking that Kali Yuga can start only when one leg of religion remains. The rule is that Kali Yuga will begin only when one of the leg of religion remains. So there are four legs of religion: austerity, mercifulness, cleanliness and truthfulness. So in the beginning of Kali Yuga, only one leg of religion is prominent. Because of Krishna's appearance, when Krishna performed so many pastimes and Krishna killed so many demons, the Dharma has increased beyond the level of Satya Yuga. In Satya Yuga, all the four legs of religion are completely intact. But in order for Kali Yuga to start, only one leg of religion should remain. But because Krishna is performing so many pastimes, the dharma has increased to such a level, it has gone beyond the level of Satyayuga. And Krishna was feeling that if I leave this world in my self-same body, it means like if I leave this world in the self-same body in the presence of everyone, in a spiritual airplane, going to the spiritual world, then what will happen? By seeing my disappearance in my self-same body to the spiritual world, then the number of favorable devotees will only double in number. By seeing my disappearance in my self-same body, the number of favorable devotees will only double in number. And those who are already intensely favorable, their prema will increase even more. They will develop a much more greater longing for me. Their prema will become much more intensified by seeing my disappearance pastime in my self-same body. And those who are presently neutral, they will become devotees on seeing this extraordinary event. And in this way, dharma will increase even further. Already dharma is actually actually beyond the level of Satyayuga. And if I leave my body, if I leave this world in the self-same body, like Lord Ram left this world. When Lord Ram, when he disappeared from this world, he disappeared in his self-same body, in the presence of everyone. When everyone could see that Lord Ram going to the spiritual world. Krishna was thinking, if I also disappear in the same manner, then dharma will increase even more. But then, now Kali Yuga has to start. But Kali Yuga can start only when one of the leg of religion remains. So then Krishna thought, so in order to reduce the level of dharma from what it is now to only one leg of religion, Krishna desired to perform this Maushal Leela, which will actually bewilder the people, which will make the people think that Krishna's body is ordinary, Krishna's body is material. And all these associates of Yadus, they are also some ordinary people. And they will, by performing this, and Krishna desired to perform this Maushal Leela, and Krishna desired to leave behind a mortal body, because of that people will think that, oh, Krishna's body is material. And the offense of considering Krishna's body to be material, it is such a great offense, because of that, the dharma will reduce from the level of how it has increased to the level of Satyayuga, from that level it will reduce the level of Kali Yuga, where only one leg of religion is prominent. So that is why we see so many times Prabhupada quotes this verse, avajananti mamuda manushim tanumashritam param bhava majanantu mama bhuta maheshwaram. Those who consider that Krishna's body to be material are actually fools. In fact, one place, in one purport in the 10th canto, first chapter, Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport. He says that when Brahma was actually meditating on Krishna, Krishna actually spoke to Brahma that very soon I am going to appear. So Prabhupada says that even personality like Lord Brahma, he could only hear the sound of Krishna. He could not actually see Krishna. Even a personality like Lord Brahma could only hear Krishna, not see Krishna. But that Krishna, he performs his pastimes and he actually makes his pastimes visible even to the common conditioned souls. And this is nothing but the causeless mercy of the Lord. Even a personality like Lord Brahma could only see Krishna, but that Krishna, even a personality like Lord Brahma could only hear Krishna, but that Krishna makes his pastimes visible even to the common conditioned souls. Therefore, that is called as causeless mercy of the Lord. And when Krishna displays such causeless mercy, when people say that, oh, Krishna is ordinary person, avajananti mam muda, then it is definitely right on the part of Krishna to say that they are actually fools. So then Krishna says, what is the result of considering Krishna's body to be material, Krishna to be ordinary person? మోగాష మోగకర్మాణ మోగజ్ఞాన విచేతస రాక్షసీం ఆసురీం చైవ ప్రకృతిం మోహినీం శ్రుత. ఇఫ్ డివోటీస్ కన్సిడర్ దట్ కృష్ణాస్ బాడీ టు బి మెటీరియల్ దే విల్ నాట్ అటైన్ సాలోక్య సార్ష్టి సామీప్య దే విల్ నాట్ అటైన్ దిస్ లిబరేషన్. ఇఫ్ ద కర్మీస్ కన్సిడర్ కృష్ణాస్ బాడీ టు బి మెటీరియల్ దే విల్ నాట్ గెట్ దర్ ఫ్రూటివ్ రిజల్ట్స్. ఇఫ్ ద జ్ఞానీస్ కన్సిడర్ కృష్ణాస్ బాడీ టు బి మెటీరియల్ దే విల్ నాట్ అటైన్ లిబరేషన్. ఆన్ ది అదర్ హ్యాండ్ రాక్షసీం ఆసురీం చైవ దే విల్ టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ ద స్పీషీస్ ఆఫ్ రాక్షసస్ అండ్ అసురస్. సో దేర్ ఫోర్ కృష్ణ చక్రవర్తి సేస్ దట్ కృష్ణ పర్ఫార్మ్ దిస్ మౌషల్ లీల బై దిస్ అండ్ పీపుల్ విల్ కన్సిడర్ దట్ కృష్ణస్ బాడీ టు బి మెటీరియల్ అండ్ బికాస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ సిన్ ద ధర్మ విల్ రెడ్యూస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ సత్యయుగ టు ద లెవెల్ ఆఫ్ కలియుగ సో దట్ ద కలియుగ కెన్ స్టార్ట్. సో వన్ మే గెట్ బివిల్డర్డ్ డిడ్ కృష్ణ కమ్ టు యాక్చువల్లీ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ రిలిజన్ ఆర్ డిడ్ కృష్ణ కమ్ టు యాక్చువల్లీ లైక్ టు స్టార్ట్ ఇరిలిజన్ బికాస్ పరిత్రాణాయ సాధూనాం వినాశాయ చ దుష్కృతం ధర్మ సంస్థాపనార్థాయ సంభవామి యుగ. కృష్ణ కమ్స్ టు ఎస్టాబ్లిష్ రిలిజన్ బట్ దెన్ బై పర్ఫార్మింగ్ మౌషల్ లీల కృష్ణ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఇంక్రీసింగ్ ద రిలిజన్. సో వన్ వే థింక్ లైక్ దట్. సో బేసికలీ కృష్ణ కమ్స్ టు కరెక్ట్ ద యూనివర్స్ డిసార్డర్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ద డీమన్స్. వెనవర్ దెర్ ఇస్ అ డిసార్డర్ దెర్ ఇస్ అ యూనివర్సల్ ఆర్డర్ విచ్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ అడ్మినిస్ట్రేట్ బై కృష్ణ అండ్ ద డెమిగాడ్స్. బట్ వెన్ ద డీమన్స్ క్రియేట్ అ డిసార్డర్ ఇన్ ద యూనివర్సల్ మేనేజ్మెంట్ ద లార్డ్ అపియర్స్ టు కరెక్ట్ ద డిసార్డర్. సో బిఫోర్ ద అపియరెన్స్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ సో మెనీ డెమోనియక్ రూలర్స్ సో మెనీ డెమోనియక్ కింగ్స్ demoniac kshatriyas they had created a disorder. So Krishna came and killed those demoniac kings and he corrected the universal disorder created by these demoniac kings. But then beginning of Kali Yuga it is part of the universal order created by the Lord. Satya Yuga, after Satya Yuga Treta Yuga has to come, after Treta Yuga Dwapara Yuga has to come. When the Dwapara Yuga ends after 8,64,000 years, then Kali Yuga has to begin. That is the universal order which is given by Krishna. That is the universal order. So, Krishna corrected the disorder created by the demonic people and then by performing this pastime, he is again reinstating the universal order. That means he is introducing the Kali Yuga. Because so many sinful living entities have to enter Kali Yuga. They have to enter Kali Yuga. So therefore he performed this Maushal Leela. And in Kali Yuga, although Krishna has introduced Kali Yuga by performing Maushal Leela, by reducing the religion, but in Kali Yuga also, Krishna appears, but in the form of the holy name. And when we take shelter of the holy name, and we can protect ourselves from the effects of Kali Yuga. So in this way we see that Krishna is actually Krishna corrected the universal disorder and then again reinstates the universal order. So whenever Krishna performs this pastime, he does not disturb the universal system. He does not disturb the universal system which has to continue for the benefit of the conditioned souls. Even in the case of like Vamandev pastime, so Vamandev, he actually took away all the possessions from Bali Maharaj and then handed it over to Indra. Actually, if you see, Vamandev, Bali Maharaj is a much more qualified devotee than Indra. Although Bali Maharaj he has completely surrendered himself, he has performed Atma Nivedanam, but why didn't Krishna appoint Bali Maharaj as Indra? He is definitely established as like a pure position. Why didn't he appoint Bali Maharaj as Indra? In fact, Krishna appoints Bali Maharaj as Indra only in the next Manvantara. But he sends him to Sutal Loka. But the reason is that when a person is appointed as Indra, he has to continue for one full Manvantara. That is the universal system. So Krishna has bestowed his favor to Bali Maharaj by becoming his own doorkeeper in Vamanade. He has given himself to Vamanade, but he does not disturb the universal system. Because Indra has to be, like this present Indra, he has to rule, he has to be the Indra for the whole Manvantara. And the next Manvantara, he appoints Bali Maharaj as Indra, and then he sends him back to the spiritual world. So in this way, we see that Krishna's position is established. Because I wanted to speak about this verse, Ete Chamsha Kalapamsa, but it's beyond the scope of the time. But so to summarize, what we discussed today is that first we discussed that how Banasura is a demon who is trying to separate Krishna from his consort, Aniruddha from his consort, from his eternal consort. So, but Lord Shiva is trying not only to unite the Lord with his consort, but also he is trying to unite the living entity with the Supreme Lord, which is actually the hope for the uniting the Lord with his consort is the hope for the whole universe. And then we talked about how Lord Shiva plays the role of the Brahmana and Kshatriya in order to establish the supreme position of Krishna. And we also talked about how the objects of prayer, how they become the subjects of prayer. Your Lord Shiva is offering prayers to Krishna. And then we also spoke about how this particular pastime is recollected by Sukadeva Goswami in order to pacify the distress of Parikshit Maharaj and his own self. And we discussed about the reason for Krishna performing the Maushal Leela. So I think I'll end the class. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya.